this to each and every individual in this room. But it's such a prominent message that he has for us, that God has planned for us. It's this message of hope. It's this message of love. And it's something that we all face. This morning we're going to talk about why do bad things happen to good people. Many people today have this question in mind. Why do I suffer? I'm a good person, aren't I? I mean, I don't do anything wrong. I mind my own business, go to church on Sundays. I worship God occasionally. I do what I'm supposed to. I'm a good person. Why does something bad happen to me? Why is it I have to lose loved ones? Why is it I have to suffer here in this world? When things hit, when tragedies hit, when famines hit, when all these things happen in this world, we question why do things happen. When these mass shootings that have been going on, why do these things happen? Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Well, sometimes we don't agree with those authorities that we have to obey. Sometimes we don't like the way that they're governing. Sometimes they're doing things completely in the way that we see wrong. But one thing that we've got to understand is that God is in control. I was watching the news one morning, and after a mass shooting, they were questioning why did this shooting happen. And they quoted this verse right here. God is in control. God is in control of everything that's been happening around us. He's in control of the governing authorities. He's in control of everything. And then they quoted this philosopher. He says, either God wants to abolish evil and cannot, or He can, but He does not want to. If He wants to but cannot, He is impotent. If He can but does not want to, He is wicked. If God can abolish evil and God really wants to do it, why is there evil in the world? One of the great philosophers came up with this. Why is it bad things happen to us? If God's in control, this almighty, this loving God, if He's in control, then why is it all these bad things happen? He's a loving God. But yet I have to suffer? Sometimes we might feel like David did in Psalm chapter 44, verse 17. Let's go ahead and turn over to Psalm chapter 44 and read that passage there in Psalm 44. Psalm chapter 44. Beginning in verse 17, it says, all this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten Thee, and we have not dealt falsely with Thy covenant. We've done everything right, correct? Continuing in verse 18, our heart has not turned back, and our steps have not deviated from Thy way. Yet Thou hast crushed us in a place of jackals, and hast covered us with the shadow of death. We sometimes feel like David does here in this verse. I've done everything right. But God, You're punishing me? You're the one in control. How can I be suffering when I've done everything right? I followed Your ways. Why does Jesus say that I'm going to suffer in John chapter 16, verse 33? I think the only way that we're going to be able to understand why we suffer is to look at some of the examples of men who suffered, of Christians who suffered, of people who suffered in the Bible. Job chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. There is a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil, and had seven sons, and three daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men in the east. And his sons used to go and hold feasts in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it came about, when the days of feasting had completed, their their cycle, that Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt sacrifices according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Job was doing what was right. Job was doing everything that was right in the sight of God. He was worshiping, he was offering these sacrifices, even when he thought his sons had sinned against God. He did everything to try to correct it. And Job was greatly blessed here, we can see in the beginning. He had all these many different servants, all these sheep and livestock. But we're going to see that he was blameless and upright, that he was fearing God, and that he did not turn towards evil. His wealth and his family are then all taken from him. Everything is taken from him. We read that in the rest of Job, verses 13 through 19. Even though he was blameless, even though he was upright, even though he feared the Lord, all these things that we read about in those first couple verses are completely taken away from him. Let's read verses 13 through 19. "Now it happened on the day when the sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, that a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen plowing and the donkey feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them, slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Everything Job had, this blameless, upright, the one who feared the Lord, everything he had, completely gone in the blink of an eye. But Job doesn't blame God for any of this. That's the difference. He doesn't blame God. Look at verses 20 and 22. "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' Though all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God." It's not God's fault that all this was taken away. It's not God's fault